Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcoming your phone calls or text messages, your lawn and garden questions for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning. Teresa, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Looking forward to some rain, a bunch of rain,
yes.
It looks like.
Bunch of
a lot
rain.
Of folks are worried about snow. It doesn't look like it's going to be in that form, albeit maybe some wet snow from time to time. But in the meantime, yeah, it looks good. And we need that, especially since the ground isn't frozen, right?
The ground is not frozen, and those trees and shrubs still need water. So
yep.
It's not nicer if Mother Nature doesn't. We don't have to drag the hoses out.
Shut my outside water off. So that's that's all done now. Again, we welcome your phone calls and text messages at 651-461-9226. In fact, they already started coming in even before you checked in, Teresa. Yeah. What else can we do? I mean, if you still have the capability of watering, even though we're going to be getting showers, we don't know how much we're going to be getting. They're saying a quarter inch here, maybe a full inch here and there, but that doesn't look like it's going to be, you know, some heavy downpour.
It's not going to be a soaker. So what you want to do, the most important thing is think about those plants that will be most stressed. That could be your newly planted trees and shrubs. And then more think about your evergreens because they need all the water they can get. You don't want to drown them, of course, but they'll go through winter all winter long. And because their leaves or their needles are still there, they are losing moisture all winter long. So eventually they run out of moisture in the roots. And then when they come out of dormancy in the spring, they're all brown and they could be dead. So if you're trying to save, if you're trying to decide, I can only water three things, you know, water your new trees and shrubs and water those evergreens and hope the big trees can deal it with on their own and that we get some nice soaking rains. But sometimes we can only do what we can do. We only have so much, but those would be your priorities.
Very good. Let us grab our first phone call this morning. Gary is checking in from St. Louis Park, I do believe. Thanks for calling, Gary. What is your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney?
Hi, good morning, Teresa and Denny. Teresa may have already answered one of my questions. I've got two quick ones. One of them is we had some new trees planted on the boulevard this past summer, and I've been kind of throwing water on it all summer long. But now the leaves are all gone, and it just seems to be dormant. Should I still continue to water that? And my second question is, my lawn is still lush and green. It looks just like it did in June. Should I stop watering that now and allow it to go into dormancy?
Oh, those are really good questions, Gary. So your newly planted trees out on the boulevard, if you could get one of those gator bags, if you're not in an area where it's freezing at night, fill that up and give it a nice good drink of water. Even though the leaves have disappeared, they've dropped, the roots are still growing and they're still anchoring themselves into the soil. So they're not as strong as a tree that's been there 30 years. They're just little babies. They need as much assistance in anchoring into the soil and gathering all the nutrition and the water they need for the wintertime. And as for your lawn, you could probably stop watering that now, unless we go droughty and we don't get any snow till January. Then you want to give it another drink of water if the ground isn't frozen. But that ground is starting to cool down, and the tree roots are, I'm sorry, the the lawn roots aren't very deep, so those roots are responding to that cooler soil, so the grass is starting to become less active. So if you need to water one or the other, I would definitely water the tree. Just keep mowing the lawn or raking the lawn so when we get that first snow that stays, it's not all covered with leaves. You want to get those leaves up. So mow if you need to, mulch if you can, and let the leaves stay out there if as mulch, or bag them and put them in your garden if you're going to use it that way.
So the word mow, I couldn't believe it. Yesterday afternoon, I mowed my backyard. I figured it needed it. You know, I didn't want it to get too long before the snow flies
exactly.
Whenever that happens.
Exactly.
A texter, Teresa, says, I have an old lilac that bloomed normally last spring. It also has been blooming the past 2.5 months. Still blooming?
Yep.
Do you think that it'll bloom again next spring?
It will bloom next spring. It probably didn't bloom as much as it would have in the spring. So you're still going to get some flowers. You may see a little less flowers next year. But the fact that it was able to bloom... They're confused with the weather. We're all kind of confused with the weather. But it's still blooming. It's healthy. If you can, maybe give it a little drink of water. Select some of those blooms and bring them in the house for a day or two because they smell so delicious. And just know it's going to do its best next spring for you again.
Very good. Back to the phones we go. Harold calling in from Roseville this very morning. Thank you, Harold. What is your question for Teresa?
Hey, good morning. Teresa, I have a question regarding dormant seeding. I have some areas in my backyard that are a little bit thin, probably because of the shade, and I would like to overseed those a little. I was thinking of putting some seed down now. My question is, I have a lawn service, and in the spring they always put down some pre-emergent about the time of the first mowing. If I put down some seed now, will it germinate before they put that pre-emergent down in the spring?
Harold, those are excellent questions, and I'm glad to see that you're thinking ahead like that. First of all, it's probably a little too early to dormant seed now. The ground has not frozen, or it hasn't really started to freeze yet. You want to wait till it starts to do that so that the seeds don't, if you look on your seed packet, it'll say starts to germinate in so many days. And if some of those grasses could start to germinate in 3 days, and you definitely don't want those. Some take 21 days, so they'd probably be okay. But in the meantime, we have a lot of birds out there getting seeds, a lot of migrations coming through. So that's just expensive bird food. So I would wait till the ground's much cooler, closer to being frozen, or before we get that snow that you know is going to stay, and you can put it right on the ground just before that snow comes. Now, in the spring, that is so smart of you to think ahead. I would probably mark the area with some stakes or some tape or something like that and tell your lawn service, do not put the pre-emergent in this area unless you can go out there and see that most of that seed has sprouted. But again, look at the label that you bought your seeds of, and it will say it starts sprouting in like 3 to 21 to 27 days, depending upon the variety of grasses they're using. So if you think you have something in there that takes 21 days to sprout, that means once everything else starts sprouting out there, those other seeds are going to take another 20 days to sprout. And by that time, your crew probably has come through and put down the pre-emergent, which will stop it sprouting. So if they can avoid that area just that one time that year, and that would be good, and then let the grass come up and then go from there. Those are excellent questions, Harold.
Very good. Before we take a break, I want to grab another phone call. Nancy is calling us from Edina this morning. Hi, Nancy. What is your question?
Good morning, everyone. I have seen a couple articles on live Christmas trees lately and cautioning about buying them because there are bugs that hitch on. What is the best way to know that you can bring one in safely without everything else on it?
You could use a spray, a pesticide on the tree before you bring it in. Also, double check, look at it really carefully. Maybe after you take off all the wrapping and the tree starts to come down a little and relax its branches, give it a really good spray with the hose outside. Just really spray it down. That will knock a lot of those insects off. And then you have to remember, what am I going to do with this live Christmas tree in January? It's hard to keep it in the house. It could die in the house. Our houses are so dry. It's hard to keep a tree like that alive inside the house. Have the hole already dug outside. If you can, maybe bring all the extra soil that you've dug from that hole, put that in a place where it's not going to freeze. And then once you decide you want to put the tree outside, then you have that hole already dug. You can backfill with the partially thawed soil, tamp it in really good, and go from there. So spraying with probably a good stream of water before you bring the tree into the house will do really well. And if you're really worried, you have plants or something like that, you're worried about insects, you know, give the tree a close look, and then maybe use a judicial use of insecticidal soap. That would probably be the best bet. And just keep an eye on what happens then. Good luck with
all
that,
right.
Nancy.
Very good. We need to take a quick break. This is our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of your lawn and garden questions. 651-461-9226. We'll take this quick break. 44 degrees now on our way to 55, but it's going to be a windy day today, maybe 51, the high tomorrow. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. And again, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering all of those lawn and garden type of questions for you at 651-461-9226. We do have a bunch, Teresa. We want to remind our listeners, too, that they can check out, and again, we call it kind of wintertime, fall, winter reading, but any time of the year, get on the university website. Am I correct?
Exactly. extension.umn.edu. You can always, you know, get out of household chores by saying, I have to research something on the extension website. And I'm a good one for that. Just go ahead and do that and learn about gardening, or just get lost in all the different things that are out there. Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi have put together a really good little blurb about all the things we can be doing in the fall. So there's a good article on that for that information.
So many things, whatever your question is. Plus, you being a master gardener, there is a master gardener thing you can click on, right?
Yep. So you can actually contact master gardeners. It's the Ask a Master Gardener. Just click on there. You can email your question. You can send up to 3 photos if they're helpful. And there's just so much information there. And a lot of master gardeners use this website as their resource. So we're using the same information that you have access to. So, and you don't have to go through classes.
No, it's a great resource. All right, back to business here. Texter says, we have wild raspberries on our 5 acres. They become very invasive. It's so hard to walk because they're all over. Is there a good way to control them?
Raspberries like to turn into thickets. They're a thicket. That's what they do. You just have to dig them out, knock them down, dig them out. You can use selective herbicides if you have to, but understand that those raspberries out, 5 or 6 feet away could be connected underground to the ones you want to save. So you'd need to sever those roots first. It's usually just easier to just sever the roots and dig out the ones you don't want and try to keep them in control. But that's what they want to do, and they're pretty aggressive about it. Good luck with that.
By the way, if you'd rather call and chat with Teresa instead of sending a text, it's the same number, 651-461-9226. In the meantime, this texter, Teresa, says, can I trim back my asparagus ferns before heavy snow smashes them to the ground?
Sure. Once they've died to the ground, if you want to cut them back, that's fine. You can think about that for any of your perennials or your annuals. If they've died to the ground, you can go ahead and cut them back. That's just fine.
Okay. This listener has a wisteria that has way overgrown the support trellis. Their question is, how far back could it be trimmed and when?
You could actually trim that all the way back to the ground if you wanted to. So that would be fine. And you could do that pretty much any time. Understand that the further you trim it back, the less likely you're going to see some of that flowering next year. So it may be this is the year you decide you're not going to have any flowering. You're going to put in a new a heavier structure for it instead, and you just understand this year you won't see many flowers. But go ahead and trim that back as you need to, and then just put in a good heavy structure, because those wisteria can be monster plants. They need a big, heavy duty construction.
Teresa, we've had a couple of questions, in fact, for weeks now, even as late as here mid-November, about lawn fertilization. I think I know what you're going to say, but I think a lot of people think, heck, we're going to have highs mid-50s today, 51 tomorrow. But what is your opinion on maybe a fall, like a winterizer, as they call it?
You know, we're at that stage now where I suppose if you really want to, you could, but I would probably say we're kind of past that stage now. I would wait till next year just to not mess up the plants anything, and then worry about a lot of rain washing it away if we ever get rain again, heavy rains. I would probably just skip the fertilizing for this year, put it in a cool, dry location, and save it for next end of August into September instead.
I was thinking about this mild weather, weather we're having, and in fact, this coming week, although we're getting rain, the temperature will be relatively moderate for this time of year. What about protecting our trees, our young trees, with hardware cloth or something like that, as long as it's warm enough?
Yep, that's one of the things. And even if it's cold and we had snow on the ground, I would still be telling you, protect those trees, because there's bunny and mice and deer out there, and they are going to be nibbling on something all winter long. And let it be somebody else's trees and shrubs while yours are protected with chicken wire or hardware cloth. Hardware cloth is a little better. It keeps out more critters. But definitely put those that protection up. Unless that tree has a really thick bark and it's a really established tree, I would definitely definitely put protection up. And say if you have lilies or things like that that you know the bunnies like in the spring, or your tulip beds, put up your fencing now, because you can still get it into the ground, and that will be there in the spring when the ground thaws again and the snow melts and the bunnies are there waiting, and you will miss all the stuff coming up and the bunnies will eat it if you don't have protection. So put up the protection now. It takes a little bit of time, but you're going to be out there anyway finishing tasks, putting up holiday lights. You may as well just put up all that protection that you possibly can. Then you can rest easy all winter long that you've done your best for the plants.
Teresa, kind of related as far as protection, a listener wants to know, is it a good idea to wrap certain shrubs? Is it really necessary, says another texter?
Well, if your shrub is planted in the right spot, it's the right plant for the right spot, you shouldn't have to wrap it. That being said, if you have arborvitaes and they have multi-trunks in the center, I would put some old pantyhose or something like that to kind of hold those trunks together, so when we get the heavy March snow, it doesn't make them look like Dr. Seuss trees. If you have plants that are a little more fragile, maybe you've planted a yew in the not quite right place, you have snow plows that come through and blow snow and rocks and sand into your, or throw it into your yard, then definitely you want to wrap those plants and protect them. Wrap them loosely. You're not trying to turn them into stiff mummies. You're just trying to put a little barrier between them and the snow or the sand that's going to hit them. If you have an evergreen that's going to get a lot of winter heat, winter sun right by your house, it's on the south or west side, you may want to build a little fence just in front of it to give it a little bit of shade so it doesn't come out of dormancy as far and lose so much moisture. But right plant, right place, you probably don't have to wrap. We have snow, and we want evergreens to be able to see them, so having to wrap them up is kind of sad. So try to just plant the right plant in the right place, and you should be okay.
Very good.
That was a long "it depends" answer.
It depends, and it does. All right, Teresa, thank you for that. And hang on. We're going to take a break, have a look at that forecast, see what kind of rain we're actually going to be getting, at least as far as the prediction goes. So stay with us on our Smart Garden Show. Call us or text us with your lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning and welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long along with the Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your lawn and garden questions. As usual, 651-461-9226. That'll work for either a phone call or your text question for Teresa. And again, we always like to bring up the topic of the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. Any time of the year, it's always fun to get out there, and this is no exception, is it, Teresa? Right now,
absolutely beautiful right now. You can see what the prairie is doing in its glory. There's a lot of like winter berries just blooming. They're showing their berries, just gorgeous. The grasses are so pretty, especially like the little blue stem. Then you have purple beauty bush out there. The tamaracks are just filled with their golden needles before they drop. It's double discount days. Yay. The Apple House Boutique is still open. There's just so much to do out there. So go out to the Arboretum. Winter Lights has started, or will be starting next week, I believe. Or what did I put down? Winter Lights is starting the 21st. So you have to get pre-advanced tickets for that. But check the website to make sure if you need tickets or you don't need tickets or how that's all actually going right now. It's a little bit different than it was all summer. So, yes, the Arboretum is just beautiful. You can drive 3-mile drive, check out the different various gardens along the way. Look and see what they do for their gardens in the wintertime. How are they preparing their gardens to help pollinators and things like that? You can learn so much at the Arboretum. It's just beautiful.
Absolutely. Like you suggested, check online to see what the situation is if you need to make reservations. Mm-hmm. Arboretum, check it out. Texter says, before we grab a phone call, Texter says, can I still plant my tulips?
Yes, get those tulips in the ground. It's better to do it before a raging snowstorm comes in, like I've done. Don't do that. I don't suggest doing that, planting them in the start of a blizzard. But get them in the ground as soon as you can. If you can dig the soil, you can plant your tulips.
Very good. Let's grab a phone call. Tom is calling in this morning from Minnetonka, I believe. Thank you, Tom. What is your question for Teresa?
I have some Chicagoland green boxwood. I grow in pots on the patio, and I got to take them out for the winter and bury them. I have read, and it kind of makes sense because they do seem pretty easily, that I can cut the roots way back and repot them in the spring so they stay in the same pot. Is that true, do you think?
You could cut the roots back as little as you need to get them back into those pots in the spring. I would do your root pruning in the spring. Obviously, you're not going to do it now. You're just going to take them out and get them in the ground as quickly as possible. Give them a really good drink of water. Keep them well watered until you pull them up again. And then in the spring, you can cut back the roots, but I would not do a drastic root cut, just enough to get them back into the pots again.
Okay. Tester says this past spring and summer, we had a terrible problem with earwigs. They ate most of the emerging little plants. Is there some suggestion for getting rid of them?
Earwigs are usually not a problem. They're usually going after plant material that's already starting to decay. But if there's none of that around, or if their populations are really big, they will start to eat your plants. So you can look online on the Extension website and use the suggestions for pest control if you need to for that. Otherwise, hopefully next year you won't have that, because you just said you had a problem this year. It probably won't be the same as next year or the same next year. But just be aware that they prefer to eat the decaying plant material if their numbers are not so high. If their numbers are huge, we had an easy winter last year, so perhaps just more overwintered or eggs overwintered than normally has happened. Hopefully we'll get back to normal and you shouldn't see that happen again.
Okay. Teresa, this listener wants to know if it's too late to plant hardneck garlic.
No, if you can dig the soil still, I would get the garlic in. If you've already got it, please, yes, get it in. Maybe not. It would be hard to find it in local stores. But, yeah, go ahead, get it in as quickly as you possibly can. Once it starts coming up, you may want to give it a good, make sure it gets a good drink of water, and then maybe put a nice layer of straw or fluffed up leaves on top of it to give it that protection. And do expect it to start to grow. That's what it does in the fall, and then it just kind of stops growing and then resumes or comes back again in the spring. That's normal. Don't panic, but get it in the ground as quickly as you can.
Okay. This listener has a large bed of native plants like goldenrod, purple coneflowers, grasses, etc. It's too much for me, they said. I need to turn part of it back into the lawn. How do I kill it off? Is there something I can do yet this weekend to get a head start on it for next spring?
The ones you might want to, first of all, talk to your neighbors and ask them if they want to take any plants. And maybe you just, you know, define an area where you want them to remove the plants. That would be the best thing. And then the second next thing you could do is you could use an herbicide on it. You could dig them out. If you can dig them out, that would be the next best thing to do. And then get rid of them, either offer them to people in your neighborhood or put them in your compost bin or send them to the city compost if your city is still collecting compost. Then what you can do is, if you can, you can look at the herbicides at the garden centers. Go to your local garden center and talk to them about it. Read the labels, because a lot of those are not going to work if they're under 50 degrees. So you may be past the point where you can actually do that. And then your next bet would be cut them back as far as you can. Lay cardboard over them, or I'd probably lay cardboard and then cover that cardboard with leaves, and hopefully that will smother them and then give you time to take that back in the spring and then reseed out in the spring again if you want to do your lawn grass.
Speaking of leaves, Teresa, this texter says we're mulching our perennials with leaves in the spring. Do we need to remove the leaves, or can we leave them on to provide nutrition for the plants?
You can leave the leaves on as long as the plants can come through it. If you're just doing a light mulching now, that's fine. If the ground has not frozen, please don't put a heavy winter mulch down yet. The heavy winter mulch would slow that ground from freezing more, and it could even prevent it from freezing quite nicely. And then you could have a problem with voles and mice that eat your plants all winter long. So hold off on the heavy winter mulch. Then in the spring, pull back the heavy winter mulch. You'll notice a lot of it has disappeared. It's already been absorbed into the ground. It's already been incorporated into the ground. Just pull back what you need to pull back, just away from the plants, and they'll be fine. You don't have to remove all of it if you don't want to. The more you can leave out there, probably the better, up to a certain point.
Okay. Another question before we do a quick break. Should endless summer hydrangeas be trimmed back?
No. Wait till spring when they come out of dormancy, and they come out of dormancy very late. Wait until they start coming out of dormancy to see what has died, and then trim that part back. You want most of your shrubs to go into the winter with as much of their plant material above ground as you can.
Another one here before we do break. We were talking about protecting trees. This listener wants to know, do you recommend putting plastic sleeves around young trees?
You can use those plastic corrugated sleeves if you'd like. What I would suggest is, if you've purchased those, cut them in half so you have two pieces, and then just tape the two pieces back together again. They're really hard once you get them outside to open up, and you can actually scratch the bark of the tree, and that will cause damage to the tree as you're putting this on and taking this off. If you're going to use those plastic tubes, they go on in November and come off in March. You don't leave them on all summer. Otherwise, just if you could put hardware cloth on instead, it's a one-time thing. Put it on. You can leave it on there 24/7, 365, until the tree is big enough to protect itself from the rabbits and the deer.
Good point. Good point. All right, Teresa, hang on. I want to remind our listeners, coming along next hour, Andy Lindis will join us for the Home Improvement Show. So any kind of a home improvement question you may have, keep those in mind, and we'll take your phone calls and texts next hour from Lindis Construction. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Every Saturday at the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Here's the phone number, also happens to be our text number, 651-461-9226. All right, Teresa, we have a bunch of text messages yet to field, so let's get to it. Okay. If I put a 1 to 2 foot potted white pine trees now, I'm not sure what they mean. How do I care for them till spring when I plant at the cabin? I have room to have inside in the basement.
Oh, if there's a way you could put them outside and sink them into the ground and dig them up in the spring, that would be your best bet. trying to keep them over winter downstairs in the basement. It's going to be really dry. They're going to need some lights. You're going to have to, you can try to do it. It's just going to be really, you're fighting a real battle there. I would try to sink them into the ground, even if you leave them in their pots. Sink them into the ground, water them really well, and maybe cover them to protect them from the critters. Put up a little fencing and protect them from the critters. Then dig them up in the spring and move them. That would be my suggestion. If you don't have a place, you're in a condo or something, if there's any neighbor or friend that you could just sink the pots in at their house, that would be the best thing to do.
Okay. Listener says, can you prune variegated dogwood any time of the year? Ours grows 4 to 5 feet per year too fast.
Sure. You can go ahead and prune that variegated dogwood. A lot of times they'll have pretty red stems, which are great to use in your pots with your spruce tips. Yep, you can go ahead and trim them back pretty much any time of the year. You can also take them right down to the ground if you want to, if they get away from you 1 year. Otherwise, just go ahead and prune them to size, cutting them back.
Listener wants to know if he or she should take advantage of sales on potting soil. Will it be good to plant with in the spring?
It'll be fine to plant in the spring, especially if you can just store it in a place where it's not going to freeze. That would be wonderful. If it's out in the garage and you're it's going to freeze out there, just, you know, I'd probably get it up off of the garage floor. So put it on a pallet or a bunch of cardboard. It'll be fine. You can use that easily in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Texter says, when should I cover my rose bush?
Okay, the arboretum tips and covers their roses at a certain time. If your rose is not winter hardy in Minnesota, you can put a cone on it. You can put a big big ring of chicken wire, fill that with leaves. I would probably wait. It's a little too early yet. We're getting to that stage now where maybe it's getting to then to there. Cut it back as you need to, if you have to keep it protected in the little ring. If you're going to use any of the rose cover cones, if they're the paper mache ones, they're fine. If they're the plastic ones or the styrofoam ones, make sure you take the lids off and then fill them with the leaves and keep the lids off. Otherwise, they get too hot all winter. It depends on where you are in the state and what your weather is doing. Right down this area, I'd probably wait another week or two. Otherwise, if you have to because you're headed out of town, go ahead and cover your roses as you need to then and give them a good drink of water first.
Teresa, here's a lawn mystery. Two places on my lawn, Texter says, are perfect circles of a white flat flower amidst the grass. I've not tried to eradicate it. I've no idea what it is invading my grass.
Wow, I'm not sure what white flat flower it is. If you can take some good pictures, maybe take a picture where the grass meets the flower is really good. A nice close-up of the flower would be really good. And then you can go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and then go down to the bottom right-hand side, and there'll be Ask a Master Gardener, and you can type your question in there, and the Master Gardener could actually see the flower, see what it looks like, how big it is compared to the grass next to it. If you even can put a ruler or a quarter down as a size comparison, that really helps. And then they can do some research for you and get back to you on that. And then get back to us and tell us what it was.
Very good. You and your colleagues and John Trappi would say, answer this question, is it too late to fertilize my lawn? And they would say yes.
Yes. Yes. It really is. Unless you know something we don't, like it's not going to snow or get really cold for a while. And then if you could share that information, that would be nice. But yeah, it's just... I wouldn't be fertilizing my lawn. I just wait until the spring to take care of lawn fertilizing.
We've kind of had a similar question earlier. How do we debug plants for bringing indoors?
Oh, this is an excellent question. So what you want to do is clean up the plant as much as possible. Take all the leaves that have fallen onto the soil, clean all of that up so you have nice, nice pristine. Then take your hose, give it a good shower of water that knocks off 99% of what's going to be a problem there. Make sure that you spray the pot. the bottom of the pot and the saucer. Get everything nice and clean. Then bring it into your house and keep it segregated from the rest of your plants for about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks if you can, just to make sure no creepy crawlies came in. And then once everything looks good, then you can go ahead and move it into where you're going to keep it all winter. If at that, during that time where it's in solitude, you see insects on it, you could use an insecticidal soap once you've identified what the problem is, or put it in the bathtub and give it another good shower and see if that knocks off the problem issues, and then just pay really close attention to it.
Teresa, this texter says they have a cedar tree growing about a foot per year that's growing right next to their garage at home. It's about 3 feet tall now. It can't stay there. They want to transplant it to their cabin. It's a beautiful tree. When's the best time to transplant?
Okay, what they can do now is, while the ground's still not frozen, go out there with their shovel and just where the biggest root ball that you think you can handle and dig up, just take the shovel and cut down straight into the ground, one shovel deep. That will sever a lot of the roots on the outside of that ball. Then what will happen is it will grow more roots inside of that cut. Next spring, make the cut again in the same area and then dig the root ball out, wrap it up carefully, bring it up to your cabin as soon as the ground is workable up there, and put it into the soil. But by doing that pruning, that root pruning the season before, it's almost going to be like it's a potted plant when you bring it up there. It's going to have a lot of feeder roots and will still go into shock, but not as much.
Teresa, we just have seconds to go. We have less than a minute to go. Let's remind our listeners on a couple of issues. Get to the University of Minnesota website. You'll really be glad you did if you haven't done so already. Extension.umn.edu. Extension.umn.edu. And what about the Arboretum? It's
and
an easy drive,
Arboretum,
isn't it?
And the Apple Boutique. Visit them.
The Apple House, yeah, it's still
the
open.
Apple House Boutique. It's still open, yeah.
And they have so many more things than just apples, too.
They do. They have all kinds of good stuff out there. And but go to the Arboretum as you can. And again, extension.umn.edu. You could get a lot of information and connect with Master Gardeners.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Teresa.
Thanks,
always
Danny.
A pleasure.
We'll see you after Thanksgiving.
Good deal.
Okay,
Teresa
bye-bye.
Rooney, she is a Master Gardener. Take care, Teresa. Always answers those questions promptly. Thanks for that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.